MLB, NBA, NHL, NFL, Score Big has all the sports tickets you want at up to 60% off. It's easy to use. I've used it myself. All you got to do is log on to sportsgamblingpodcast.com and click the Score Big icon. Score Big, the lead pipe lock for great game tickets. Welcome everyone to the Sports Gambling Podcast. I am Sean, stacking the money green with my partner in picks, Ryan, Real Money Kramer. Ryan, how you doing after our trip to Vegas?
I was tired. I didn't get a full 8 hours both nights, Sean, like some people.
Hey man, I sat in the sports book for, well, Saturday we got there super early. Sat in there, watched a good 12 hours of games.
Yep.
Had some sort of brownie that made me really tired. Yep. Also made me do some weird things. Like, one of the... I think we both had a pretty solid day Saturday with the college picks. Stanford, UCLA... Stanford, Notre Dame. But I also had a Texas A&M second half, and that didn't work out.
Yeah, that was good.
But I was going up to cash, and I was so... high from the brownie, and I had my Stanford ticket. And
you were altered from the brownie.
Exactly. Oh, I had a sugar high. And I was looking at the UCL or the Stanford ticket and the Texas A&M ticket, and I threw the Stanford ticket in the trash, then went up to the counter, completely panicked, then luckily traced my steps back, dug the ticket out of the trash. And, yeah. Sunday, not a great day. Eagles lost to Dallas. Couldn't go any worse. Got murdered in my picks. But we did go to the Las Vegas Hotel there. What's the official name? The Superbook is what they call it, right?
The Las Vegas Hotel, which is the home of the Superbook. It's probably one of the... It's not one of these new school sports books with all the fancy screens. And it's just kind of like an old school... It's one of the last old school sports books. Awesome place to watch games. They got the regular sports book. They got the man cave area, which, by all accounts, you have to get there at like 2 in the morning the night before to reserve that. And then they open up their show theater. I don't know what normally happens here, but it's, what would you say, a couple thousand seat theater?
Well, I don't know if it's quite that. Maybe 1,000. You can't.
Well, maybe there's maybe counting the up. They have a balcony section. It was unclear if that was actually open for this. But, yeah, just let's say 1,000 seats. And then what it is it's 5 big screen TVs. And the outer 2 screens, though they have games on. And then the inner 3 screens, the middle screen is like the game with sound, full screen.
Yeah.
And then the other 2 big screens on the left and right of center, they turn into 4 screens each. So they basically got... Each game is on at least one screen.
A lot of times, twice.
It's pretty. It's awesome.
It's basically a movie theater, but instead of watching, you know, some bullshit Sandra Bullock movie, you're watching the games. And it's probably the best place to watch games. And they have a little side concession stand. They got $2 Miller Lite drafts.
Everything, like breakfast burrito for like $4.50.
Yeah,
just like food and cheap drinks, and I don't know. It's I'm kind of mad at myself. I was very mad at myself that I'd been there to watch March Madness, never been there for NFL,
Did they always open it for football Sundays?
They definitely did last year. I knew they were doing it last year. And I guess the one negative. Now it was not crowded when we got there. What would you say, Sean? We got there around 9.
Yeah, not super.
I think
early.
They even advertised they don't open the doors until 9.
Yeah, we might have got there like quarter after 9, and then they have like a window there right outside.
Yeah, they have
of it.
A special like betting window, which the line can get a little slow because there's only 2 or 3 windows. But I don't know. It's one of those things like you don't have to get up super early. And, you know, we got there, like you said, 9:15, and we were sitting front and center. I don't know. Like, it was...
Yeah, I mean, hands down, best sportsbook experience I've had, I think. Yeah. And, yeah, awesome place for March Madness especially. And, yeah, make sure you check it out. Las Vegas Hotel, baby. Okay, Ryan. Oh, man. Tough week, but let's get to it. Week 7 picks, starting off Thursday Night Football, Seattle at Arizona. Zona, 6.5-point dog. Now, I think the home dogs are pretty good this week. With Arizona might be the exception. We'll have to break it down further. But I liked Arizona here. I thought they'd be able to keep it close, and they lost 34-22. There were some moments where they're in this game, and their defense is all right, but Carson Palmer is just horrible.
Yep.
I mean, that's the thing. I kind of liked Arizona with the expectation that Carson Palmer was going to be a big enough upgrade from your John Skeltons, you know what I mean, that it would provide some value. But I don't know. I still think they're going to hit that 6 win total, but, man, not a good game for Arizona.
I think it's just tough to back Arizona when they're playing an elite defense. I think if you can play Arizona as a dog against a good team with a not so good defense, but you just can't play him against a good defense. He makes too many mistakes.
Just tough to mess with Seattle.
I mean, Carson Palmer is kind of falling into that category of he's probably going to make you feel good and beat really bad teams, but he's going to find ways to lose games against good teams. And, you know, just think, I was actually at work getting I got a little action on Seattle to win the Super Bowl. I think I always forget, it's either 12 or 15-1. And guess who they get back potentially this week? They're saying most likely
Sidney Rice.
No, Percy Harvin.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
That's what you meant to say. And I was watching some YouTube highlights of Percy Harvin. Man, that's really going to change their offense. I mean, he's a dynamic player. Both Seattle and San Francisco could potentially get back Pro Bowl caliber receivers. It seems like they're the two teams to beat in the NFC.
So, wait, it's shaping up, certainly. Well, in New Orleans, of course. Atlanta Falcons at home. Some thought they were the team to beat this year. Really disappointing season. Luckily, they eked out a cover and a win against the Tampa Bay Bucks, 31-23, covering the 7-point spread. I don't know, Ryan. Not a lot to report from this game. Tampa Bay's awful. Atlanta, not great, but they can beat a team like Tampa Bay. Felt good about my Atlanta pick here.
Doug Martin potentially out for the season. I mean, my takeaway from this game is that Atlanta is where I have a good gauge on Atlanta at this point. They're not a good team. They're not a bad. They're a below average team. But Tampa's garbage, and Tampa. I think every year there's a couple teams that quit on their coach, and you want to get betting against them before it becomes public knowledge that they've quit on their coach and they fire them. I think this was week one of that. I think now with Doug Martin out, they're going to really struggle.
I mean, I'm going to need a lot of points to pick Tampa. I just don't see it happening.
Yeah, I think Tampa might be a blind fade team for the next 2 weeks for me.
Cincinnati Bengals went into Detroit. I felt great about Detroit. Fortunately, did not work out. It was tied up 24-24 late in the fourth quarter. Punter shanks it.
Yep.
29 yards. And, of course, Cincinnati only had to go about, 25 yards, kick the game-winning field goal, 54-yarder.
To be fair, the only reason it was 24-24 is a crazy Hail Mary pass that Matthew Stafford somehow got off before getting sandwiched by two defensive linemen, and Calvin Johnson went up and caught it with three defenders draped on him. So,
yeah, but that's almost what you're factoring in. You're factoring one big play from Calvin Johnson a game. I mean, yeah, that was certainly superhuman, but I think at this point in Calvin Johnson's career, we can't really call that lucky.
No, but I think, yeah, a 51-yard bomb was lucky. I think any time you execute a play like that, there's a little luck in it.
All right, factor in the triple coverage. Buffalo went down to Miami. Thad Lewis, they circled the wagons, won outright 23-21. I certainly did not see this coming. I'm usually on that Buffalo bandwagon for some upsets, but I did not think this team could travel. But Thad Lewis, I mean, they're pulling Thad Lewis from the practice squad, and he's winning on the road against a Miami team that was supposed to be good. Miami 3-0, now 3-3. Ryan, Miami, contenders or pretenders?
Pretenders. Takeaway is Miami. I wouldn't adjust any. I wouldn't adjust your opinion of Buffalo on this game, especially with the way they're going to be as good as their quarterback plays, and he played well in this game, so they did well. Also, Mario Williams quietly has, what, 10.5 sacks? That defense is I think, outperforming. If only they could get better play from their defensive backs. I think the takeaway from this is Miami can't run the ball. Miami is an average team. I think we got
Buffalo's
a little too excited.
Buffalo's an interesting team. Interesting team.
I think Buffalo will compete with above average and below teams, and I think they just they won't have a shot against other teams. A little surprising they won outright on the road. But I think it's all about how Miami is too one-dimensional. They can't run the ball. Tannehill is only completing like 50% of his passes over the last three or four games. I think the key here is you gotta knock Miami down a couple pegs. I just don't think you can play them at home, 3-point favorites, no more, and on the road. You got to be getting. I think against a good team, you got to be getting at least a touchdown.
Yeah, and especially coming off the bye, they're coming off a bye week. You have 2 weeks to prepare for Thad Lewis, essentially, and just couldn't get it done. Disappointing for the Dolphins there. New York Jets, Ryan, at home, yep. New England upset special. Lock it up. One on a controversial game-winning field goal. I had the Jets here.
I don't think controversial is the right word, Sean.
How would you describe it?
Just flat out incorrect. Incorrect interpretation of the rule.
Yeah, I mean, I knew there was a rule you couldn't push one player into the back of another player, right? But what was the variation that he misinterpreted?
So essentially, they wanted to make a rule that said you players from the second level can't run up and push linemen, people on the first level, into the offensive linemen to. It's an injury rule, basically.
Yeah, makes sense.
So the rule was worded previous to this game. There's a whole bunch of sections in the rule, but the part in question was players not on the line of scrimmage at the snap cannot push players on the line of scrimmage into the offensive formation. Now,
this guy was on the line of scrimmage.
He was on the line of scrimmage and basically shifted over behind one of his other defensive linemen and just pushed him. So by the letter of the law, he did nothing illegal because he was on the line of scrimmage. Now, here's the controversy, Sean. After the game, and the timestamp on this article that I'm reading is at October 20th, 6:32 p.m. So that would have been what? Sunday. At 6:32 p.m., after the game ended, the rule suddenly was the wording was changed to players cannot push teammates on the line of scrimmage into the offensive formation.
So controversy.
Suddenly they
NFL's trying to hide their tracks.
Yeah, and there were some reports coming out that the Jets were pointing this out to the refs before the play. It sounds like they screwed. This sounds like a situation where typically the NFL comes out and says, hey, you know, we screwed up. The wording of the rule was not specific enough or too specific. We didn't account for this. We've adjusted it to make it easier to interpret by the officials. Instead,
yeah, NFL usually seems to be pretty transparent with this kind of
instead,
stuff.
Instead, there was nothing said. And a lot what a lot of the conspiracy theorists, I guess it's not a conspiracy or people are saying is that Belichick basically talked about the rule and he knew the rule. His interpretation was that basically players from behind, you know, off the line of scrimmage can't run up and slam into the defensive lineman, which wasn't the case here. So interesting to say the least. You can't really feel that bad because the Patriots are usually on the other side of stuff like this. So
yeah, Belichick built his career on breaking the rules.
Yeah, call it Spygate karma. I don't know.
Or Tuck rule. You want to talk about interpretation of rules and stuff like that? I feel like Tuck rule.
And this is being called Push Rule Gate. If you're interested, you know, hashtag Push Rule Gate. Lots of Twitter action.
All right, Ryan. My Philadelphia Eagles laid a giant eagle egg at home against the Cowboys. Cowboys coming in. It's 3-point Underdogs won outright. Man, felt like the Eagles missed an opportunity here. The offense just did not show up at all. I thought the defense played pretty well. You know, not necessarily dominating, but I thought they did a nice job with Dallas. Turned Romo over. I just think offense could not get things going.
Kevin Cobb effect.
What's that?
Oh, you get a quarterback, plays a couple good games, you start getting wanting to get behind him as the starter, and he turns out once teams have tape on him, he's a bit of a fraud.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if, I mean, Nick Foles, I don't know if he's a fraud.
Who's a fraud in that game?
No, I don't think Nick Foles is who Nick Foles is. People were hyping him up because he beat up a horrible Bucks team and closed out a horrible Giants team in the second half. People were making him out to be the second coming of Christ. People overhyped Nick Foles for no reason, just based off that Tampa Bay performance. I wouldn't say he was a fraud. I mean, that Tampa Bay game didn't change my feeling about Nick Foles. The guy has potential.
Sean says people, he means himself, by the way.
No, he did seem limited by injury, and he was just missing throws. He was missing throws
he
normally hits. I mean, Jason Avant in the end zone, that's got to be a touchdown. Yeah.
Here's my takeaway. There's now, what, 6 weeks, 7 weeks of tape on the Eagles and Chip Kelly's new offense. They will be as successful as their running game. They clearly... And I think having Nick Foles in there hurts the running game a little bit. You don't have to worry about the quarterback on those sprint option plays.
Yeah, I mean,
look, if they can't run the ball, they're not going to win a game.
But that's why Vic's the starter, and that's why maybe this game potentially benefited the Eagles long term, in that it solidified Vic as a starting quarterback. And like we were seeing in that game. You know what could have jump-started that offense is a long run by Michael Vick. You know, like a third and 10, pick up 25 yards on the scramble because the guys are dropping deep. That all of a sudden opens up the offense. All of a sudden makes the linebackers hold an extra second. It is a huge difference. And also, I think Foles was limited with a hamstring injury. Barkley came in and looked like complete garbage. All right. Yeah. Washington Redskins at home against the Bears. I thought the Bears, riding my Thursday night trend, no dice. Washington won outright, 45-41.
We were on the right. I mean, we were on the right side of this game. And one thing,
Jay Cutler got hurt.
One thing we didn't talk about in the very brief Vegas recap was we were on an astonishingly amount of games that. The quarterback for the team we were backing got knocked out of the game.
Yeah, I had a nice chunk of cash on Chicago. Jay Cutler gets hurt. Nick Foles is hurt. And Notre Dame's quarterback gets hurt. Notre Dame miraculously won. I think that sucked up all of my good luck karma for the rest of the
season. Texas A&M season. Second half. Johnny Football comes out for like three series. Not that maybe it doesn't matter, but in this game, the Bears was the right side. And we're seeing it again. The Bears' inability to have a... Well, although Cade McNown didn't look bad.
I thought he looked okay.
He's garbage.
I think it's more just an indictment on the Washington defense.
Maybe, but I just think we see this... We've seen this, what, 3 years in a row now? The Bears don't have... And they need a backup quarterback. Cutler can't stay healthy.
Yeah, I mean, everyone wants to give Michael Vick shit about staying healthy. Jay Cutler quietly... Very, very injury prone.
Very strange. I mean, the injury was definitely a fluke. Like, his leg got caught. He tore his groin. Look, it sucks. I mean, if you're a Bears fan, your season's over. Bottom line. He's out 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah, I don't see them rebounding. And, you know, Chicago is getting the turnovers and points off turnovers, but you can't let up 45, so.
No, and look, Lance Briggs also out 4 to 6 weeks.
And you got to fade Chicago right now. All right, Ryan, Carolina Panthers at home against the St. Louis Rams. You were a staunch supporter of your Carolina Panthers, came out, nice game. Sam Bradford also, another team I picked that lost their quarterback. Sam Bradford getting 6 points, not enough. He's out. He's done for the season, as are the Rams. They lost 30-15.
Sean, I would like to extend another invitation. There's plenty of room on the cam. The cam wagon. Is it ready to jump on?
Yeah. I'll jump on it this week. We'll see how long I stay for the ride.
No.
We'll see how long I stay for the ride. San Diego Superchargers in Jacksonville. Laying 7.5 points. No problem for the Chargers. They didn't look great, but they didn't have to. They were playing the Jags. San Diego 24, Jacksonville 6. Easily covering the 7.5 point spread. Jacksonville, high score for a high number of points at home. 6. Their previous total, 3. And the week before, or their other home game, 2.
You know, I'm going to... This is going to sound kind of stupid after coming off a Jacksonville game, but I think San Diego might be a little bit better than we thought.
Yeah, I've been I turned the switch on San Diego after I saw Phillip Rivers play the Eagles. Now, you were saying I was overreacting, but I think Phillip Rivers is having a really good year. Some of the other guys are making some plays. The problem is they're in a super competitive division, so...
Yeah, look, they're probably not going to make the playoffs. And I don't think it's necessarily about Phillip Rivers. I think they're physical. They upgraded their offensive line. They're still not a great pass-blocking offensive line, but they can run the ball. And you've seen, I think Ryan Matthews has 2 straight 100-yard games. I think they're just being physical. And look, at this point, you got to give them a little credit for beating the Colts, regardless of the bad spot. The Colts have now beaten, arguably, I think I saw a stat that the Niners, Seahawks, and Denver Broncos are a combined 17-1 versus everyone else but the Colts, and they're 0-3 versus the Colts, and the only loss is when Seattle beat San Francisco. So you could argue that the Colts have beaten the 3 best teams in the NFL, and the Chargers kind of handled them on that Sunday night game or Monday night game.
Yeah, that was,
a
weird game for them, and I think it was definitely a playbook issue, and there was a lot going on there.
But I think you gotta maybe respect the Chargers a little bit more. Not so much for their ability to pass the ball, but I think they're a little more physical than we thought.
Agreed. Speaking of the 49ers, went into Tennessee, took care of business pretty easily. 31-17. I don't know, Ryan, anything to report here?
I was much like the Carolina. There were 2 games I was all over this weekend, Carolina and San Fran. We talked about it. I thought this was a steal at 4.5. I would have played 5. Couldn't believe it got down to 3 before kickoff. Wasn't really understanding why. I think people got a little too excited that Jake Locker came back. I think the takeaway here is that Tennessee, maybe not garbage. I don't think I would. I wouldn't alter my opinion on Tennessee after this game. I think San Francisco's figured it out. I think they figured out how to play without Aldon Smith. I think they're moving the ball. They're sticking to their style of play. They're being physical. And the trend of teams coming off a game against Seattle. Tennessee came off the game against Seattle, a little bit beat up. And they got covered on pretty easily here. So I'm going to look to continue to play that trend.
Solid trend, right?
And honestly, coming off a Seattle-San Francisco back-to-back, I wish the Titans were playing this week because that would be – I mean, that talk about a team that needed a bye week.
Yeah. Cleveland Browns went into Green Bay. Getting 10 points, not enough for the Browns. Man, 31-13 loss. Green Bay, like you said, covers double digits nicely at home. And Brandon Whedon, just not a good quarterback.
I think I talked about it on the podcast. I just wanted to fade Brandon Whedon here. I did like the Packers because they are good, big favorites at home. Even with all the injuries, of course, now they've lost JerMichael Finley, who looked that he might have been paralyzed, but it sounds like he's got feeling in his legs and arms. He's out for the year. But they're doing it. They're still doing it. They're running the ball more effectively. They actually have a decent line. You know, after Seattle and San Francisco, I think I still put the Packers over the Saints, to be honest with you.
Really?
I think there's too much reliance. I think the Packers can do a little bit more on the road, same as San Francisco. I think Seattle and New Orleans they need home field. But
New Orleans, they might get that home field.
Yeah, you're right.
Seattle and San Francisco beat up against themselves. The Saints are now playing in the apparently seemingly soft NFC South. I mean, with the exception of your Carolina Panthers, not a lot of competition.
They're going to lose to the Panthers. That's one thing I will say. They're going to lose to the Panthers on the road.
Wow. He's calling the shot. All right.
It's a game they lose every year, it seems like.
It does. Kansas City Chiefs at home, 6-point favorites. Almost lost outright. They won 17-16, but also almost covered the spread last second.
Oh.
Houston had the ball, fumbled. Kansas City picked it up, about to go in, gets tackled at the half-yard line. So Houston secured the cover with that play. Pretty crazy in the sports book.
So you almost, yeah, you almost got a lucky cover there.
Well, yeah.
Because Kansas City had no business covering that game.
No, they certainly didn't. I mean, it was a close game throughout the whole thing. Houston definitely... I mean, Case Keenum, I don't know. I don't see Yates or Schaub starting again if Case Keenum
Yeah, Keenum looked good. He was moving around a little bit. He was taking shots downfield. I wouldn't have a problem if they start him again. It sounds like they might start Schaub. It's unclear.
Pittsburgh Steelers, 19. Baltimore Ravens, 16. This game continues to always be decided by – it seems like it's always a three-point game. So with that in mind, yeah. I took the Ravens. Wasn't the right side here. Pittsburgh won at home. 19-16. Neither of these teams look great. Both just the – I mean, someone's got to win the AFC North.
That's where you made your mistake, Sean. You weren't getting three.
No, I know.
The rule of this game is take the points if it's three or more and lay the points if it's less than three. And I think someone tweeted out that, like, five of the last nine games, regular season games –
Oh, I think it's even more than that.
Between these two teams have been decided by 3 points.
It's a crazy trend.
Yeah, I don't know. Is Pittsburgh for real? I'm not sure. I'm not so sure they are yet.
But who's going to win this division?
Cincinnati.
That's true. Cincinnati, yeah. 5-2.
Cincinnati is starting to stretch it out a little bit. Feeling good about that.
Nice win in Detroit.
To win the division bet. I think they're the only complete team. I think Baltimore struggles to pass the ball, struggles to run the ball. They have a good defense. Pittsburgh can't block anyone. Going to struggle to run the ball. Their defense might be coming back. I think Cincinnati can do everything. You know, slightly above average.
Yeah. Denver, Sunday night game. Ryan, felt good. We're all greased up, all ready to go. Watch the Broncos take care of business in Indy. Felt like a great spot emotionally for Peyton Manning. Jim Irsay was jacked up on Twitter talking shit.
Yep.
Manning, quiet, resilient, fired up.
Yep.
Just could not take care of business. I mean, obviously, you got to. It's not really. This loss isn't on Manning, but. I think everyone who backed Denver expected some sort of, for Manning to figure out a way to win this game. But Indy, with their turnovers, their defense, and with just the ability to score, won outright 39-33 as a 6.5-point home dog.
Yeah, look, you gotta knock Denver down a couple notches. Their defense is really being exposed. I don't know.
And Honestly, I didn't see – I mean, this is the worst I've seen Peyton Manning play since the playoff game.
Watching this game made me want to grab – now, I know last week –
He did not look comfortable throwing the ball deep, which was his problem for some of the chunk last year when he was struggling, and with the playoff game, he was just afraid to stretch the field, and I don't know what it was, but it seemed like watching this game, there was a hesitancy to push the ball downfield. He kept trying to get Knowshon Moreno involved in the passing game, which I guess maybe his receivers weren't open or they were just getting taken care of physically. But you have four receivers who are contributing. I don't know how he wasn't able to read the defense, find the open guys, and get some – I mean, obviously easier said than done, but he's been doing that all year.
All right, two takeaways. One – something was wrong with Peyton. A lot of balls were fluttering. And honestly, watching this game made me want to – I know that last week there were some NFC – you could bet NFC plus three in the Super Bowl. Makes me really want to grab it now. I think if you look at the top five teams in the league, Denver's in there. But other than Denver, we're talking San Fran, Seattle, New Orleans, Green Bay.
Now, Ryan, here's what we're thinking. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No,
go ahead. I don't want to forget this point. Cold weather Super Bowl.
Yeah, cold weather Super Bowl. Now, Peyton will be playing in cold weather, but they opened the dome, and you can't help but notice those balls were fluttering, and something's wrong there. So what I think you grab the NFC plus the points right now.
What did you say the number
well,
was?
Well, I saw last week it was plus three. I'm guessing it's not going to be plus three anymore. I still grab plus one, plus two, because here's the thing. Denver probably is only going to go down in terms of their perception. And you're also playing a situation where if it's anyone but Denver, you're talking about Seattle, San Francisco, maybe not New Orleans because of the cold weather element, or Green Bay. All those teams are probably favored by over a field goal against the Patriots, against the Bengals, against the Colts, the Chiefs. I mean, so you're in a situation where you might get a solid minimum, a solid, what, 4 points of line?
Definitely.
So I like that. The other takeaway, see, now I forgot my points, John.
Sorry.
That's all right. The other thing, oh, I know what it is. Peyton Manning, in years past, whenever Peyton Manning's big on knowing what to do before the snap, right? He always reads your defense and pretty much knows where he's going to go with the ball before the ball's even snapped. And I think when you see him struggle, it's because teams are tricking him into thinking he should go somewhere, and it turns out he shouldn't go there. And you've seen the Patriots do this. You've seen the Steelers do it. You've seen the Ravens do it. Now, Chuck Pagano came from the Ravens. And so maybe that was one thing that I was kind of mad at myself as I was watching the game.
Yeah.
Didn't really think about it. But if I remember correctly, the Ravens played the Broncos well over the last, you know, 3, 4, 5 years. I don't know. I just think my takeaway from this is I'm not doing anything with Indy, but I'm definitely time to sell Indy, to be honest with you. But I'm definitely knocking Denver down a couple pegs.
Well, see, I think Indy there might still be a little bit of value in there, but we'll see.
You can get NFC plus 2.5 minus 115. So I don't know, Sean. That does that not seem like?
Seems like there's
what's
some value
crazy
there.
is they're offering NFC money line plus 105. So for me, for my money, I'm going to take those 2.5. You know, I might even bet that right now. Plus 2.5. I mean, my logic's sound, right, Sean?
I agree. I mean, we're already, what, 7 games into the season?
Think about if it ends up being, like, basically if Denver doesn't make it, you're sitting on a situation where you're going to have the NFC team's going to be favored by at least 3 points. That's a huge swing.
Yeah.
Anyway,
continue,
Sean.
Your New York Giants got on the board with a victory against Josh Freeman and the hapless Minnesota Vikings, 23-7. Covered in a 3.5-point spread, the highest spread for an 0-6 team ever, I think. And
they were the first 0-6 team to be favored by more than a field goal in the history of the NFL, or back to like 1970 or something like that. I heard that on pregame today.
Yeah, impressive. And you could not say the same for the game. Very ugly. Did not look just a horrible game here. A lot of turnovers, just sloppy.
Yep, here's my takeaway, Sean. The Giants did not look great. The one thing I thought was interesting, well, first of all, I guess, as I'm watching the pregame, and between you and some of our other gambling friends, most of you basically said, stay away from the Giants. It's a bad bet, laying more than a field goal. I tended to agree.
Well, I think I ended up picking him, but yeah.
But well, at 3, that's one. But so then, and I start watching the pregame, and I see Josh Freeman's eyes, and he just looks terrified. And so I tweeted it out. My bet was going to be on the under. I just didn't think either team was going to score a bunch. And so at the game started, I bet the under, and then I just continued to live bet the under. I think I grabbed it at 48, and then I grabbed it at 47. I grabbed it at 46, 44.5, and then that punt return happened, which I was like, perfect. Jump back up to 47.5 or 46.5. So I basically bet the under all the way down until it hit 40. I didn't want to bet under 42. Or I bet under 42, but then that was the last time I did it. So I was happy. I won some money. I did some live betting on the Giants when they were minus 2.5. But yeah, I think the takeaway here is that Leslie Frazier is a horrible coach. They played a quarterback who has a notoriously did not learn the playbook in Tampa both times around with the first coordinator and the second coordinator.
Yeah.
Came in here, and were they really expecting him to know the plays? They didn't have a chance. Reports are now coming out that he won't play this week because of a concussion. I have a feeling that concussion was caused by Jared Allen or Adrian Peterson or one of the vets who was like, we want to try to win games. Christian Ponder, you have to start Christian Ponder.
The guy knows the playbook. I think it might have been Jay Moore, one of the guys on the Fox Sports Radio. Might have been, I think it was Jay Moore.
Can we talk about Jay Moore real quick, Sean? Do you like Jay Moore?
Yeah. Well, hold on.
Finish your point.
My thing is, on his show, he brought up a point. Maybe there's something to that he didn't want to start. Leslie Frazier didn't want to start Josh Freeman, and that starting Josh Freeman and making him throw this many times or calling this many pass plays.
Oh, that fighting with front office
is almost like you guys force Josh Freeman yeah. on me. I want to show you what a fraud Josh Freeman is.
Yeah, maybe a good point.
And that, I mean, that makes sense. Why else would you have Josh Freeman throw 53 times?
You're a bad coach. I mean, that's yeah. the other option.
Oh, that's the other. It's a plausible option.
I don't know how. What's the working theory? Jay Moore has enough money to buy a radio show? He's garbage. He's complete garbage. Now, right. to be fair, I think most sports talk radio hosts are garbage. I mean, Dan Patrick is kind of, honestly, like, nothing is more enjoyable to me than when I have to get up a little early for work so I can catch the end of Dan Patrick, because I know that if I'm coming in late, my options are Colin Cowherd or Jay Moore. Whoopty fucking do.
I'm a big Jay Moore supporter and fan, Ryan, so you won't hear me disparage Jay Moore.
Yeah.
It's a funny comedian, good guy, yep, great sports talk
right.
show.
I should also point out that I'm not I don't run in Hollywood circles, but Sean might.
No, I mean I'm kind of joking around there. I think Jay Moore does a good job on the show. Well, I don't know. I know what you mean. I've had that feeling where I get annoyed by certain sports talk guys and their take on it. And like you pointed out,
just talk to me. Don't act like a clown. Like yeah. just talk about what you listen.
There is a certain it must just be program directors giving all these sports talk radio guys notes of like more energy, get fired up, get engaged. We were talking about this on the drive out to Las Vegas. We were listening to sports talk radio, and yeah, there definitely is a like consistent energy and tone of voice of we're bringing you the picks. And
everyone who does sports talk radio, for the most part, especially local shows, they all speak loud, speak fast. Have a lot of strangely like contrarian opinions to get to, you know, create buzz, and have some sort of weird Philly, Boston, New York hybrid accent.
Well, that's the only people that care enough yeah. about sports.
So it's this weird, I don't know, but it's funny because we were scanning through channels in the desert driving out to Vegas, and we easily identified a sports talk channel by the fact that the guy was yelling and had like a weird Bronx accent.
But, yeah, that being said, I'm a fan of the Jay Moore show. So, okay, Ryan.
I think he had me at Goodwill. No, what the fuck was that movie with Cuba Gooding Jr.?
Oh.
Show Me the Money?
Yeah.
Jerry Maguire. That was the last time I liked Jay Moore. All right. Little pick'em recap, Sean.
Yep.
For the who knows how many consecutive weeks, Zim Zum, not dumb. Still in first with 55. That includes the drop week, ladies and gentlemen. Coming in second, I Am a Genius with 54. New to the top five, Gluna with 53. The Heartbeat with 51 coming in fourth. And in fifth, Nostradamus. C. Boyce, one of our Twitter superfans, had a bad week last week. Still in fifth place with 50. Sean, you've dropped out of the top five. You're now number sixth with 49. And I am creeping up there, Sean. Watch out. All the way up to 27th place with 44. Not out of it yet. I've come on strong lately with a couple. I had a nice 8 last week.
Nice.
This is going to be a big. I'm predicting this is the 13 game week is always a huge swing in the pick'em. If you can come out with a solid like 9, 10 with only 13 games, you're really going to make a move this week. Plus, the spreads are so tough. All right, Sean, quick league heads recap. Oh, no. First place. Loose picks. Managed by our buddy Steve.
Uh-oh.
5-0-1. Coming in second. Tied for second, actually. The real League Heads. League Heads representing. 5-1.
Wow. Winning his own game, huh?
Yeah. Coming in tied for second. Myself, Sean. Kramer-centric. Coming off a big win over formerly undefeated. Now in fourth place. My Vic in a box. Last up. Shoddy 17-17 Cali style, 4-2. Sean, I noticed that you've fallen all the way to 1-5.
Well, see, that's my thing. I can't do it on my phone for some reason.
Yeah,
interesting. I gotta talk to the developers.
We'll have to talk to the developers. Seems to work on everyone else's phone. It does take a little bit. Hey, one thing to look for, guys. Mobile app. Sometime.
Yeah.
That's one of the key milestones maybe for next season. A little mobile app. Who knows? Things, shit's growing. People are playing. Check it out.
All right. Let's do it. Let's go to the Week 8 picks.
All right, Sean. I wanted to... all right. Got the contest picks in front of me. Of course, they go final every Wednesday night. First up, Thursday night. My Carolina Panthers head down to Tampa Bay, where they will be facing the hapless Bucks. I love that. Is the word hapless used in any other context but to describe a football team?
No, it doesn't seem like it gets a lot of play.
The Bucks without their best player, Doug Martin, who could be out for the season.
Six feels low here.
Feels like they're quitting on their coach. This line dropped to 5.5 for a little bit.
Woo!
I feel like this is the get ahead of them quitting on their coach. On the other side, Ron Rivera, really bad coach, but I think he's kind of realized that. He's opened up the offense a little bit. They're using Cam Newton a lot more in short yardage. He looks comfortable. This is a team on the rise, and I'm not just saying that, Sean. I think the Panthers roll here. I think this is absolutely a bad line. Are you back in the Bucs here? Are you back in the Bucs with less than a touchdown? How can you back the Bucs with less than a touchdown? The Panthers are better than the Falcons. I know it's at home. The Bucs crowd, look, they're 0-4. My only concern is that it's the whole they got to win the game eventually. But honestly, I think that builds more pressure. I think I getting off this game for a second, but the Giants, I feel like it's a little pressure off your back when you get that first win. I think the Bucs get rolled here. Plus, the road team's been doing pretty well in Thursday night games. This feels like this might be my lock. Again, backing the Panthers. I don't know. What do you think, Sean?
Yeah, I don't see any way Tampa shows up.
Yeah, and you know what? People are pounding the over at 40. Now, that's a little too...
At 40?
At 40. That's a little low for my liking. But yeah, I don't know if I could play the total. I just think this just feels such like a Carolina blowout. I think we're a couple weeks away from seeing a coach being fired, and I think Schiano is on that short list. All right, Sean. Next, 33% of the tickets somehow on Tampa Bay, by the way. That's impressive.
Yeah, the home dog.
It's always scary when you don't see it at all. But yeah, I don't think this home dog's got any bite in it. Tampa Bay is like a 3-pound Yorkie. Next up, guess what, Sean? It's your favorite game of the year, times two. The 49ers and Jaguars head over to London, where the Brits will be blessed with a spectacular matchup. The London Jaguars take on the San Francisco 49ers. This spread is 16.5, which is a very interesting spread. Money split, shockingly. Jacksonville, not as bad as we think. San Francisco, I think Jacksonville's not as... Both of these teams are not as good as their public perception. That being said...
Wait, the Jaguars aren't as good as their public perception?
I think the Jags are better than public perception, yes.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, you said
aren't
as good.
They're both better than their public perception. Sorry, I said that the wrong way. All of that being said, it's still a tough situation. Can you really back the 49ers here?
No, I can't. And I'll tell you why, Ryan. Like you said, Tennessee, tough defense. I mean, they played them well. Don't get me wrong. But then you got it basically, I'm assuming they didn't go back to the West Coast, right? So you went from 49ers.
Oh, I actually don't know. That's a good question. They might have gone home.
Well, if the guys don't – now, there's a strong trend, I think, in these London games. If the team doesn't go out the week before – so basically that Vikings-Pittsburgh game, Vikings showed up on Thursday as if it was a – like they treat it as a normal game and didn't adjust the whole week for their travel schedule, whereas Pittsburgh did.
Okay.
So barring any adjustment to that, assuming – these teams both went out early. I'm going to take the Jags here, Ryan, and I'm going to go against my rule of not picking the Jags ever. I think the Jags show a little bit of life on the road, and I think this Wembley field, it's not very conducive to blowouts. So I think the field's going to be slow. That's what it seems like.
They did go straight from Tennessee to London.
Okay, that makes sense. But still, I like the Jags getting 16.5. I don't feel great about it, but
The Niners have done well on the long travel games. Obviously, they have a larger sample set than most teams. I probably won't play this game, Sean, but it does feel like a situation where you got to take the points. My only concern is that the Niners are playing some serious defense. But yeah, I'm going to take the Jags here, just out of principle. All right.
The Jags seem to do well when they're not in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Well, seemingly well compared to the rest.
They're a much better road team. All right, Sean, next up. The Detroit Lions, coming off that heartbreaking loss to Cincinnati, host the Dallas Cowgirls, where the Cowgirls are getting 3.5 points. I got down on this early at 3 for the Lions. I like the Lions here a lot. I think this is a relatively bad spot for the Cowboys, coming off two divisional games, head on the road. They're going to play a team that is going to score and score a lot, I think. I think both teams will score a lot in this game. I got to be honest, this feels like a pretty good overplay at 50, 50 and a half. But yeah, I'm gonna play at 3.5. It makes it a much tougher game, Sean. I'm still going to lean to the Lions. I feel like this is a 31-27 game, something in that range, 31-24. I think the Lions are just going to be a little bit too much for the banged up Cowboys this week.
Cowboys, classic.
It's a letdown spot for the Cowboys, and it's also a good spot for the Lions. I mean, they coming off a heartbreaking loss at home.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like I said, it's mostly probably my anti-Dallas bias here, but
say it ain't so, Sean.
Well, did Dallas look good? I mean, don't get me wrong. The Eagles did not play well in Philly, but I don't think it was that Dallas looked that great.
And look, Dallas looked good against the run, but the Lions are the opposite of the Eagles. The Lions pass to run, not the other way around.
Yeah.
And look, I just don't see how they're going to slow down Matt Stafford.
Yeah, I think Calvin Johnson, like most guys in the league, it's not that unique against Dallas, but serious matchup problem. And yeah, I think Detroit is a nice game against the Cowboys. And, like you said, it's a weird spot for Dallas. Yeah, I just don't see Dallas winning back-to-back road games. And they feel like a 500 team, and it feels like they're going to fall back to 500.
All right, Sean. It's a little strange that the Giants and Eagles are playing again already. Philly, at the Link, hosting the Giants, coming off that real, real, real egg of a game. Giants getting 5.5. This line opened 6.5, 7. I saw it 7
oh, wow.
for a little while. Really mad at myself for not grabbing it. Giants didn't look particularly good last week. I thought the one positive was, look, they can't block anyone. That's a known. And in some of these situations, they go max protect and run one or two routes. What they did against the Vikings, they started leaking the tight end and the running back out. And instead of trying to block everyone, they just leak them out. And they were getting good yardage from that. And I think they got to build on something. The receivers did look good. Reuben Randall came to play. Knicks didn't have a great game. I think this is a game that's close. Giants better on the road as they always have for the last, 4 or 5 years. This feels like it shouldn't be 5. I mean, clearly Vegas is telling us they don't know what to do with this game by putting it at 5.5. I think they opened it too big and got it bet down. But I don't see how you take the Eagles laying this many points when Matt Barkley could take a substantial amount of snaps in this game.
I don't see Matt Barkley playing in this game unless Vic re-injures
something. What was Vic's injury? Was it a hamstring?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hamstring, groin stuff.
And what does Vic do a lot? Run and cut. If he's not 100%, there's a good chance he could re-injure that hamstring. That's all I'm saying.
Regardless, I think the point spread's too high. I think this should be 4, something like that. Eagles haven't looked good at home. They've lost 9 in a row at home. Haven't won one at home yet. I think the Giants, granted they're coming off a short week, have a little bit of momentum, possibly some confidence. And the Eagles-Giants matchup seem to favor the road team for some reason. I think it'll be a close game. I don't see how the Giants pull out back-to-back wins, especially with that offensive line. I think with their center being out, and they just, I think if you go up again, the Eagles D-line has showed moments where they've played really strong. So I think the Eagles will win, but I think 5.5 is a little too high.
And the one thing I'd like to, the last thing I'll point out about the Giants is the one thing they have done well this year is stop the run. So, you know, the Cowboys kind of put down on paper what you can do. You know, you slow the run down. Now the X factor is Vic's coming back. He's going to give them that extra running element as long as he doesn't get hurt. And reports out of Philly is that he is definitely starting, but he's still being bothered by the hamstring injuries, but he's going to start. So, all right, Sean. Chiefs Browns, who would have thunk it? Chiefs laying 7.5. I don't know how you can play the Chiefs, even if you like the Chiefs at 7.5. Browns announced that they have benched Brandon Whedon. They will be starting Jason Campbell. I'm not sure that's a downgrade or an upgrade. I'm not sure what to think about Jason Campbell. He has not looked good in recent memory, in my recent memory of him, at least. I liked. This is another game I'm a little mad I didn't grab Chiefs -6.5 when it opened. It quickly jumped to 7. Now it's 7.5. I'm not sure. I'm going to roll the dice with the Browns here with that defense. But more importantly, if I'm probably not going to play this game, but if I was, I'm not sure. God, the line's already moved. It opened at 42. It's down at 39.5. This feels like an under game. It doesn't feel like there's going to be a lot of points in this game at all. And when there aren't going to be a lot of points, I mean, how often do you see a 39.5 point total with a 7.5 point favorite? So my logic being, I don't think there's going to be a lot of points, so I'm going to take the dog for that reason only.
All right, Ryan, give me Cleveland. I think this shapes up to be a similar game to Houston where Cleveland has some talent to bring in a backup quarterback and – they'll keep it close against the Chiefs. Chiefs are 7-0, but they're I don't like them in big spreads. They don't strike me as a team that can cover big spreads.
Sure, what are they going to – I mean, the Chiefs – I can't imagine the Chiefs are going to score much more than – this feels like a 21-17 game, something like that.
Yeah, I think it could be a little bit closer than people think. But I don't feel great about the Cleveland pick. This definitely feels like
just feels like a points or pass game, you know?
Yep.
All right, next up, Saints, who it sounds like they might be without Jimmy Graham. Hasn't practiced yet this week. Had a pretty severe ankle sprain, and he really makes that offense run. Lance Moore could be coming back. Buffalo Bills, Thaddeus Lewis gaining some confidence. I think we talked about this a little bit. The Bills aren't a team that you're going to be looking to take as a small dog on the road, but I got to be honest. My initial reaction was to take the Saints here. But I think I got to wait till game time. If it doesn't look like Graham's going to play, I'll take the Bills here. I'm not a believer in the Saints' defense. I think, although they've put up good numbers so far, they're a bit fraudulent. And I think if Graham's out, this is a solid Bills play. If Graham's playing, it's probably a pass. But I'll still I still feel like you got to take the points here. I know the Saints are coming off a bye. I just don't. Their offense hasn't looked good in years past when Graham goes out. He's such an important piece of that offense.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that could be a huge loss for the Saints. I think when I predicted this game, I had it at 10. So I think once you get up to 11.5, 12, I think I got to lean Bills here.
Also, over 75% of the tickets coming out of New Orleans. Pretty classic fade public perception. I don't know. It's a Buffalo. Little scary because New Orleans is very capable of blowing the fuck out of teams, but
yeah. But that being said, I think Buffalo will hang. I don't think they'll win it outright, but 11.5 does feel high.
Yeah. All right, Sean. Next up, the New England Patriots coming off a straight up loss, head home to get right at Gillette Field. We've talked about that before. Very good coming off of losses when they go home. Well, they'll be facing the Miami Dolphins, where I think we talked about this earlier in the show. Dolphins, now, I think it's a stretch to say the Patriots are an above-average team at this point because they've kind of struggled, and they've got little smoke and mirrors going on. But Dolphins are getting 6.5 only. My sweet spot for this game was 7. In my opinion, if it was 7 or more, I'm going to pass it. Under 7, I'm going to play the Patriots. So, even though statistically they actually look like pretty similar teams, I just, the Dolphins' inability to run will lead to the Patriots winning this game. Patriots get right at home. I lay the points here.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, you got, I mean, you got New England coming. Like you said, the trend of New England coming off a straight up loss at home. Same reason I picked them against the Saints. Now, that was a very fortunate cover, but I think you have 1 week of seeing how Gronkowski fits into the offense, hopefully getting your timing back with him. I mean, that was the troubling part, was Brady's just missing throws.
It was also just a bad game. It was a bad game for them.
Listen, I think the Patriots are super pissed that they got that call. Now, I think you saw them how they reacted after Spygate. I think Bill Belichick's going to be fired up, looking to shove it in people's faces. So I like the Patriots to roll big here.
I'm with you again, Sean. That's scary. All right, next up, Cincinnati hosts the seemingly extremely undervalued New York Jets, where the Jets are again getting a large sum of points, 6.5 in Cincinnati. It's still Geno Smith on the road, and I'm going to stick to my guns on this one. I know I'm not going to call New England a great defense, but I'm not playing Geno Smith against what I consider to be elite defenses. I think Cincinnati has a very good defense. I know they gave up some points against Detroit, but I'm going to grab Cincinnati here. I like their chances in this game against Geno Smith with his ability to make bad plays.
I'm going to go the other way, Ryan. I like the Jets getting 6.5 here.
Okay.
The Jets defense, I think, is what we're underestimating. To be honest, they're playing really well.
They're solid.
And I think they're going to give Andy Dalton some trouble. This Jets team does well when they have confidence. When they get a little bit of momentum,
yep.
Rex Ryan's rah-rah hype machine seems to be a little more. It seems to hold a little bit more weight when they're actually getting some results. So, and added like I thought this game should be 3.5, 3, maybe 4 points. I think it's 6.5. I don't see Cincinnati doesn't seem capable of lighting up the scoreboard. So. That being said, I think Geno Smith makes a couple big plays and keeps it close.
Yeah, see, I think he makes a couple big plays, but for the Cincinnati defense. I also like fading the Jets after this big win. Geno Smith, this has been brought up by – I've read a couple people who have this theory. Geno Smith is a guy who likes to read about himself, likes himself some – Geno likes himself some Geno, if you know what I mean. So – I think Geno might get a little caught up into the newspaper clippings. I think he might start reading about himself, get a little excited. I just like fading him in this spot. All right, Sean, next up.
Let's do it.
Pittsburgh Steelers, first true road favorite of the week, head to Oakland where they're 2.5-point favorites. I'm going to tell you right now why this, much like when we took Oakland against San Diego a couple weeks ago, this is a bad, bad, bad spot for Pittsburgh, Sean. Since coming off their bye, Sean, they've played at New York in a fairly physical game. Division rival Baltimore at home, where they got the win. They now head to Oakland. Little bit of a down team. Not much to worry about. And then they're looking ahead next week. They got to go to New England. This is a classic letdown spot. I'm not even going to try to tell you why Oakland is going to win this game, but it's just a bad spot for Pittsburgh. They still can't really block anyone. And like I said, coming off a big game, looking forward to another big game in New England, I think this is a perfect spot for Oakland. And it wouldn't be surprised if Oakland won this game outright, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I like Oakland as a home dog coming off a bye. Like you said, I think Terrell Pryor.
Oh, that's the other point. Oakland's coming off the bye. So it's a lot of, like, scheduling and situationally, this is a bad spot for Pittsburgh.
Yeah, and I think Pittsburgh's kind of a sham. They, like you said, they beat the Vikings in England. They beat the Ravens at home and beat the Jets. They're kind of getting in good spots. I think they're getting a little ahead of themselves. But, yeah, I like Oakland as a home dog.
All right, Sean, next up, Denver Broncos coming off that – really, I mean, I would almost go as far to say a relatively embarrassing loss.
Wow.
In Indy. Peyton's pride. Well, they're taking on the new-look Washington Redskins. I am a firm believer that RG3 looked a zillion percent better than week one this past week. Redskins getting 12.5, Sean. We talked about this a little before the show. I don't fully get why the Redskins are getting all these points. We talked about it. The Broncos defense is a bit fraudulent. That being said, the Redskins defense isn't exactly slowing anyone down. Can RG3 keep pace with the Broncos? I think he can. I think the Redskins probably lose this game by 10, but 12.5 is too much for that Broncos defense. I think you're going to have to look really hard at playing the Broncos at more than 10-point favorites against other teams that can move the ball. And look, the Bears defense isn't great, but they're better than the Broncos defense, and the Skins move the ball. So I'm going to grab the points again here.
Yeah, I like Washington here, getting 12.5, 13. That just, I agree, it feels a little high. I mean, why would this not work out to a shootout? I mean, what are we seeing here that it's not going to be a shootout?
Yeah.
13 points feels like Washington will be able to keep it to that.
So this line actually, well, the look-ahead line was 14, so they did adjust it a point and a half, depending on where you're looking down. But still, I don't think it's enough. All right, Sean, your Arizona Cardinals host the Atlanta Falcons. Both these teams are not looking to be playing in the postseason. Falcons, we've talked about, they aren't a very good team. But I got to be honest, I can't buy Arizona as a favorite. Can't buy Arizona as a favorite. And guess what, Sean? Arizona coming off a game with the Seattle Seahawks.
Oh,
so,
nice.
So I'm going to continue to play that trend. Falcons here all day. Arizona, and actually Arizona is not only coming off a game with the Seahawks, but I believe they played San Francisco the week before, which we talked about that with Tennessee. Man, that's a rough stretch. Playing two really physical teams, they gotta be worn down a little bit. I'm gonna play the Falcons, even though I hate playing the Falcons as a road team. Not real believer in them right now. Look, coming off San Francisco, Seattle, back-to-back weeks, I got to take Atlanta here.
Going against my Thursday night trend, huh, Ryan?
Yeah. Well, my trend's a little stronger as it's undefeated so far this year.
All right. I'll ride the played Seattle trend. Like you said, I mean, it just comes down. These teams, to me, seem very similar. And the deciding factor, quarterback. Matt Ryan, as much as he's not had a great year this year, definitely very superior to Carson Palmer. So that really jumps out at me. So I'm going to have to go Atlanta here, getting points.
All right, Sean. Sunday night, big matchup. Green Bay heads to Minnesota, which I guess by all accounts is the biggest rivalry in the NFC North. Who knew? Vikings getting 9.5 at home. Just announced that Josh Freeman is concussed. Ponder likely to start. I don't know if that really helps them. I mean, it's one of those situations where we kind of talked about it earlier. I feel like he gives them a better shot to win, but go put on the tape of what he was doing. I mean, he had basically one game, good game, and that was in London. I don't know. My initial reaction was take the points or pass, but I've kind of shifted. I like the Packers. I think the Packers roll. I know it's a road game, but we've seen this before. Packers, when they're in road situations on turf, it's almost an advantage to them. Even with all the pieces they're missing, I think Aaron Rodgers finds a way. I think the Green Bay Packers win by 17 here.
Yeah, I think Green Bay rolls big. I got this game 35-17.
All right.
And 17's being generous for Minnesota. This team just looks dead. I mean, you can't if you're not going to show up against the Giants, you're just not going to show up. So I got to go Green Bay here.
AP not even running that hard. I mean, granted, it will be a home game, and it is against their biggest division rivals. This could be almost like a Super Bowl game to them. I still don't like the Vikings. It's one of the. I don't know if I'll actually bet it, but I do. I'm gonna pick the points here. Packers laying the points. All right, Monday Night Football, Sean. Seattle Seahawks head to St. Louis, where this look ahead line was 5.5. Sam Bradford gets hurt. It's all the way up to 10.5, 11. Kellen Clemens, journeyman, career backup quarterback. They weren't good with Sam Bradford. Is he really the answer? Is he really worth five? Is Sam Bradford really worth 5 points? I think is the question here. And I'm going to say that he might be worth more than 7 points, as crazy as that sounds. I want to take the Rams here badly, but it's another situation, much like the Cardinals. How will the Rams score? Do we think the Rams can score more than Seattle's defense in this game? I don't know.
Thursday to Monday, that's a lot of time off for the Seahawks team.
Long rest.
Marshawn Lynch has gotten healthy. St. Louis is not going to want to tackle him. St. Louis, they don't seem like a team that's going to show up here at all. I think their season kind of ended last week. They're going to be flat. So give me Seattle big here.
Yeah, and it sounds like Percy Harvin could be activated for the game. I don't know if he's going to play at all, but something to throw out there. All right, Sean. You want me to go first? Of course you do. Lock of the week. Have to go. Now, as much as I want to play my trend, I don't feel as comfortable backing the Falcons. My lock of the week, Panthers -6. My money line, dog. Now, the Falcons and the Raiders feel like they're not really in that shouldn't count range. So I'm going to go out on a limb. And I'm going to – this is crazy. This is the craziest money line dog I've ever taken. All right. I'm going to take the Redskins. I have a weird feeling about this game. I think the Redskins keep it really close and maybe win outright. I can't pick the Giants, obviously. Sean, and my three-team teaser. Hey, this is a good week for teases, huh? A lot of 6.5-point spreads. Here's where I'm going with it. Give me the Panthers, putting a couple eggs in that basket. Give me the Patriots, and give me the Bengals. Lock it up. As much as I wanted to throw the Packers or Seahawks or some of these other teams in there, I just think that's the easiest way to go. Panthers, Patriots, Bengals.
All right, for my lock of the week, Ryan, I'll take those Atlanta Falcons. Feel good about them going up against the Arizona Cardinals. For my upset special, give me the Jets winning outright in Cincinnati. And for my three-team tease, I'll take Carolina winning outright. I'll take New England winning outright. And I will take the...
Get it?
I will take the Green Bay Packers -3.5.
Yeah. Like it. All right,
feels
Sean.
Feels good.
Real quick.
Couple college
I know
games.
I know the World Series already started. I tweeted out my series play. It was on St. Louis. Have a hard time betting the old Red Sox. Also like the under in game one. Look, I'm still on the Cardinals here. I know as you're listening to this, you'll see that they're down, most likely down 1-0. The series line was +120 for the Cardinals, -140. It's probably going to move into the +150, 160 range for the Cardinals. I like still buying that. I think Waka comes back in game two with a nice game. What annoys me is both these teams get like lucky magic bounces, and I just hope the St. Louis gets a little bit more than Red Sox.
I like the Sox.
Yeah.
I don't like them, but I think they'll win.
All right. Yeah, I don't know. College football, Sean. We did pretty well last week, and I angrily told you I will be staying away from all games that aren't Pac-12 and ACC.
Yep.
So I guess we'll have to talk about an SEC game every week because it's always a big matchup. But I don't know, Sean. First game I wanted to talk about because I think there's some serious value is the Clemson-Maryland game. Clemson, of course, coming off a brutal loss. And let's be honest, they didn't just lose. They got their ass whooped. I was on Florida State. They now have to head to the road, coming off a pretty crushing loss where, you know, unless something crazy happens, they're not even going to be in the ACC championship. Their quest for a national championship over. They head to Maryland, where Maryland's been a really good home team. I know people have seen them have not such great results at Florida State and losing as road favorites in Wake Forest last week. But Clemson's laying 14, Sean. That's too much. I'm going to grab the points of Maryland here.
I'm going to have to disagree, Ryan. I like Clemson. I think they rebound, make a statement, and show Maryland what's up.
Yeah, this feels like a backdoor game. If not, they're going to keep it close. All right, Sean. Ooh. Go moving over to the Pac-12. Your boys over at UCLA head up to Eugene, where they play the Oregon Ducks. Oregon, first week they did not cover last week due to a nice backdoor by Mike Leach and the Washington State Cougars. Oregon, -23 here. This line had opened at 17.5. Bad line. Mad I didn't grab it. Should have grabbed it when I was out in Vegas. It's up to 22, 23. I like this all the way up to 24 for a couple reasons. One, Oregon got backdoored. Oregon comes out as number 3 in the first BCS standings. That's got to piss them off.
Yep. Light them up, baby. Give me
UCLA,
Oregon.
UCLA, a little fraudulent, got exposed a little bit at Stanford. And guess what? Teams coming off a game versus Stanford. Ofer against the spread.
Stanford, super physical. They got banged around.
The Black Mamba for Oregon. Coming, DeAnthony Thomas should be playing in this game after missing 3 games. I like Oregon here all day. Feels like a great spot. We talked about why UCLA coming off that physical game. And I don't know, Sean, should we do one SEC matchup?
Sure.
I don't know. Let's talk about the national championship favorites. Alabama hosting Tennessee. This line is 27.5, 28 points. I don't know what to do here. My initial reaction, typically take the points, but teams haven't been able to score against Alabama. I think as long as this is under 28, you can safely lay the points with Alabama here. I truly do.
I'm going to grab the points, Ryan.
Okay.
I like getting 28.
If you can find 28, I think that's a safe bet. Last game I want to talk about, because I think there's some value here. I just told you guys, I shouldn't be telling you about Big 12 games, but Oklahoma-Texas Tech, I've been on this Texas Tech team all year. I was on them last week against West Virginia. I just have a hard time backing Blake Bell as a big home favorite. He forgets that his job is to run the ball, put his head down, and just get yards. He tries to be a pocket passer sometimes. I think Texas Tech wins here. They're 6.5-point dogs, and I honestly think they're going to be a live dog. I'll probably wait, get that back up to 7, maybe buy it up to 7 and sprinkle a little on the money line.
Yeah, I'm on board with your Texas Tech call. I like them. I don't know. I think they can hang this week.
Yeah. And one interesting thing, for those of you who go to pregame, they have that awesome tool, Sportsbook Spy. It kind of gives you an idea of how many tickets are being printed and where the tickets are being printed, what side. I've never seen this before. Up until when I grabbed this data a couple hours ago, there was a game where Washington, of the 420 tickets printed, 100% are on Washington versus California this week.
Give me Cal, baby.
I thought that was an interesting thing to point out. I don't know.
Anyway. You got to fade the public here. Give me Cal. Big. Go big on Cal.
Plus 25.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening to Sports Gambling Podcast. Of course, Stitcher, iTunes, Facebook, Twitter. Hit us up. Get in the mix. Thank you, guys. For the Sports Gambling Podcast, I am Sean, stacking the money green, and he is Ryan.
Real quick plug, Sean.
Yeah.
Check out or look forward to the Sports Gambling Podcast NBA preview.
Oh, yes.
Probably going to be, what would you say?
Early next week, we'll be doing the over-under win totals for all the NBA
teams. NBA season starts Tuesday. We'll try to get that up Monday night, maybe. I don't know.
That Monday night, late Monday, early Tuesday. So look forward to that. Thank you guys for listening to the podcast. Let it ride.